Well, good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at Timbers Christian Church. Thank you all for coming. It's wonderful to look out and to see your masked faces. I'm sure everyone is smiling behind those masks. At least I hope you are. Well, good morning. Welcome. Just a couple of announcements if you want to look at the back of your bulletin. So we did have our council meeting last week, and the council did decide to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and have the congregational meeting on the last Sunday of this month. So January 31st, last Sunday of this month, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. I'll try to keep my sermon a little shorter, and then we'll get the congregational meeting underway. And we'll have an active and inactive list to vote on, and we'll have the slate of officers to vote on by then. So that's pretty much all ready to go. If you have any other issues for the congregation meeting, please let someone know, whether it's a trustee or a deacon or myself, between now and then. That would be great. In talking with the Sunday school and with the missions committee, and the church has decided to do another food drive for Grace Community Food Bank. Now, we did this earlier in the year, and I just want to let you know that the Grace Food Bank was just so excited to have us partner with them. There is a lot of need still in the county. They are one of the few places that people can go that are having food issues. And so we're going to do another food drive. And we'll bring the boxes over here so you can drop your stuff off here, and then we'll carry it over to the Sunday school building and get it up there on the 8th, I think, Monday, February 8th is when we're going to take it up. So February 7th will be the last day you can donate. So please think about that this week when you're out shopping and donate to that. Don't forget about the Backpack Ministries on the 3rd. Again, at 9:30, they'll be meeting to pack those backpacks. And if they can get, if they have enough stuff to pack the 10th and the 17th, they'll try to get all that packing done on one day. So come for that. Please bring a mask for that. I have one prayer request to add, actually two. One is from Beth Moore, and this was something that we saw on the webpage. She just has two sons, and she would just like you to pray for her two sons, that the Lord would be working in their lives in a way that they would see His great care for them. If you want more details about that, you can see me after church. And then Janet Unger, which is a cousin to Sharon, Jenkins is in the hospital. She's been in ICU, and she's got lots of issues going on. It does not look that hopeful for her. They're planning on taking her off life support either today or tomorrow. So lift up the Unger family, Janet Unger, that the Lord would do a mighty work if that's His will. If not, that the family would be comforted in knowing that the decisions they make are the right decisions. Are there any other announcements? Lucy?
Yes. Has asthma real bad, and he's having problems with
And his first name, do you know?
Jonathan.
Okay, so Jonathan, in just a rough age?
15.
Okay, so 15, has asthma, has COVID, so he's in the hospital now. So just pray that they'd be able to treat him effectively and quickly. Any other announcements?
I just wanted to mention that the Backpack Ministry is having a meeting with all the churches that are involved in the area tomorrow at 5 o'clock at John Science Church on the corner of School Street and Cold Stream Road at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so if you're thinking about praying for them as they meet to figure out exactly how they're going to work that all out, that would be great. Yeah, so that is one of the questions that we've been trying to ascertain, too, is with these 40 fewer children, where have they went, and are they being fed? And so, again, that's why we're trying to partner with Grace, so hopefully that, if they do have some food needs, that they're able to get those. But we have been trying to figure out exactly what happened to these 40. So hopefully maybe at the meeting they'll be able to describe to us why we have fewer numbers this year. But pray for them, because, they're trying to deal with all of the COVID school stuff, too, as they deal with this backpack ministry. So pray for them at 5 p.m. as they meet.
Wayne and I want to thank everybody for the calls and cards that we received while we had COVID. And to let you know that my mom, she turned 80, and she was diagnosed with COVID right after her birthday. But mild symptoms, and she got released to go back in out of quarantine last week.
Oh, excellent.
And she did really well.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, good. And turned 80. That's a real blessing. And we are just so glad to see you guys back. So it's nice to see you doing well. Jeannie?
I want to give an update on Tessa Carpenter. I don't know how many people follow her on Facebook, but she has been in UVA since the first of the week. She was diagnosed with acute sepsis. She's doing better. They have her, of course, on antibiotics. They had to discontinue her medicine for her tumor until they could get the substance taken care of. She was badly dehydrated. She is in ICU, but like I said, she is doing some better. So just keep her and her family in your prayers. She has just a wonderful faith and attitude for a 17-year-old.
Okay. Yeah. So continue to lift up Tessa again. Doing better now with this sepsis, but had to discontinue some cancer treatment that, of course, she needs. So continue to lift her up, that her faith would be strong, and she'd find her strength in the Lord, and that the Lord would answer by blessing her with health. Anything else before? Okay, so here another Jim Hollinger on life support with COVID. And again, the Lord is able to carry some through. And so we just pray for Jim this week that the Lord would be faithful to him to bring about his good purposes and bring healing. Lots to pray for this week. I hope you guys have set aside some time to spend with the Lord and to lift these people up. We have seen the Lord answer our prayers. And so it should encourage us to pray even more fervently for these requests. Anything else? Okay, well, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our situation. He knows all that's going on in the world, and he's not surprised by it. And he loves to have us come into his presence and worship. So I'd call you to stand together now as we hear the Lord from his scriptures call us into his presence to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hear the Lord's call. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Even in these times of uncertainty and in sorrow for many, we can go to the Lord knowing that the Lord is watching over us and rejoice in that. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into your presence, we are grateful for the reminder that you reign. And you are watching over all that happens on this earth, your creation, and that you care for your people. Lord, give us eyes to see it, minds to understand what's going on, and hearts and voices that would rejoice, just knowing that you care for us, Lord. You are not a distant God, but a close God, a personal God, a loving and merciful God. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and join our voices together, singing hymn number 299, He Hideth My Soul. 299. Well, please be seated. What a great reminder that the Lord hides your very life, hides your soul in the cleft of the rock. He hides you by covering you with his hand and protecting you, like the mother hen would protect her chicks. What a great reminder. Well, grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 62. That's on page 738 in your pew Bible. Isaiah 62, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's not too bad. It's only 12 verses long. Isaiah is the first of the major prophets in your Bible. If you find the book of Psalms, just start moving to the right a little bit, and you'll run right into Isaiah. Isaiah is quite a long book, so turn towards the back, Isaiah 62, where we're going to read about this, this idea that the Lord is promising that Zion's salvation will come. Right? Even in the midst of exile, even in the midst of trouble, God's promise is that salvation is coming. And of course, we see that in the book of Matthew, right? That salvation arrived with Jesus Christ as our Savior. But you know, there's another promise in there too, a farther off promise, one past the coming of the Son, and that is the coming of the Son again, right? To bring salvation in a more complete way, a full way, as he comes to reign on earth. So we see that as our great promise even now as we await the second coming. So hear the word of the Lord here, Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall... For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And we're going to see that the beginnings of that promise fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah as he comes with healing and power in his hands for the people of God. Well, as we turn to the Lord with prayer, let's keep that in mind. Our Lord is a promise keeper. Our Lord has the power to fulfill his promises. Our Lord has the willingness to hear our prayers and answer. So let's go to that, go to him with that heart as we ask his blessing upon these we've mentioned, upon our country as the inauguration takes place this week, and on the church as a church seeks to be a light into a world of darkness. Let's pray together. We'll close reciting the Lord's Prayer. Father God, we come into your presence because there is no place else to turn where we are secure. There's no place else to turn, Lord, where we would know the goodness that is available only in you. There's no place else to turn, Lord, to find real power, true power, lasting power, merciful power, good power. There's no one else to turn to, Lord, but you. And so we come into your presence praising you that you are that kind of a God and that you love us, that you're merciful towards us, that you're good to us. Lord, we thank you for that goodness. And Lord, we admit even here now that we know how good it is because of how sinful we are. Lord, on a daily basis, we break your law. We turn aside from all that is good and go our own way. And yet, Lord, when we look into the righteousness of your law and the mercy found in Scripture, Lord, we are drawn back to you in repentance. And so, Lord, we do come and take just a moment to confess our sins silently before you as we ask you for forgiveness, Lord. Lord, we do praise you for the promise that those that confess their sins will be forgiven and cleansed of their sins and justified. So we claim that promise this morning and come boldly into your presence to lay these requests before you, knowing that by the blood of Christ and the intercession of the Holy Spirit that these prayers will be a sweet-smelling aroma, and that they will come before you in the right way. Lord, we lift up all of these, we've named, some in very dire medical circumstances, even right now on death's doorstep. And Lord, we pray that if it would be your will, that you would, even at this late hour, heal them. Now, whether it's through medicine or through miracle, Lord, we care not. We just pray, Lord, that you would bring healing. If not, then we pray that you would bring comfort and peace, that you would be a great merciful God to those that have to make these hardest of decisions, these life-end decisions, Lord, that you would bring them a peace that they would know that based upon medical evidence and doctor's advice and all of this, Lord, that they're doing the right thing and doing it in a godly way. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them in the decisions they have to make, that you would carry them along as they struggle with those. And Lord, should death come, we pray even ahead of time, Lord, that you would be the God of peace for them as they grieve. Lord, we think of those that maybe aren't on death's doorstep, Lord, but they need healing. And we think specifically of Jonathan, who's dealing with this asthma and COVID at the same time, and Tessa Carpenter, Lord, who is dealing with cancer and sepsis. Lord, we just pray that you would put your healing touch on them, and that you would work through the doctors and through the medicine to heal them quickly. In the meantime, help their spirit to be grounded in you, and help their speech to be faithful, to show their trust in you. Lord, we know that's true with Tessa, and so we praise you for that, and we pray that that would continue. Lord, we lift up this backpack meeting that's coming up. Lord, it does seem like there are children in the county who are or may be falling through the cracks. And so we pray we'd be able to figure out exactly what's going on and meet the needs of those that would be hungry in our community. We pray for our role in that and the role of the other churches, that we would be a light of Christ to the community. We lift up Grace Pantry as they continue to meet the needs of the community. Bless them, Lord, with money and with food and with the power to share the gospel with those that come, that people would see the goodness of the gospel in the giving of food. Lord, we lift up our country. Lord, much going on this week, and so we pray for peace. We pray for a smooth transition of power. And we pray, Lord, for this upcoming administration, that you would shed your wisdom on them, that you would open their eyes like all government's officials need. Lord, open their eyes to true wisdom and to the goodness of the gospel, and the words of Jesus. Help them to rule well. Help them to rule in wisdom. Help them to yield their power wisely. Help them to be a people of peace. Help them to promote unity and peace in a way that really does reach across the political boundaries, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would raise up those voices to the top, and that they would be the loudest. Lord, we pray for our church and our community. We pray in the midst of this COVID epidemic, when everybody seems to be so separated, that you would give us opportunity to draw those that aren't attending church, maybe have never attended church, Lord, to the gospel. Lord, we don't know how that would happen, but we know that revival is possible. And so we pray, Lord, that you would unite our churches and the community to share the gospel in a way that's winsome and gracious and merciful, that it would draw those that maybe have never come to church before, Lord, to the goodness of your word and to the Savior Jesus Christ. And all these things, we ask it because we know it will glorify you. And so glorify yourself through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's pray as the apostles were taught to pray, and the churches have prayed throughout generations the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask Ruby to play something for the offering. Again, take just a moment here to praise the Lord quietly in your heart for all that he has provided for you this week, for all that you know he will provide for you next week, and I'll put the offering plate in the back for on the way out. Thank you, Ruby. Let's stand together as we rejoice as one, singing the doxology, praising the Lord for his faithfulness.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him.
As we bring in this tithe, this offering to you, we just ask you to use it, Lord. Use it for your glory here in Hampshire County and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. I turn there. I'll get you the page number. Matthew 4, we're going to be on page 962. We're going to begin in verse 18. Verse 18 this morning. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, two heads are better than one, or maybe the one, many hands make light work. I found a similar one that I like this week on the internet. A single leaf working alone provides no shade. I really kind of like that one, right? It's this idea, right, that we need helpers, right? We often work, when you're working together, you get more done. Now, I do want to be clear, though, Jesus doesn't need our help, right? Jesus doesn't need our help in order to complete his work of salvation. And I would say he doesn't even need our help in order to finish the missionary work of God. Now, the Holy Spirit can do it all by himself, but when it comes to spreading the gospel, guess what? Jesus wants our help, right? He doesn't need our help, but he does want our help. We know he wants our help because in today's passage, we see him calling disciples to himself. We see him calling disciples in our passage this morning, calling to help him with the work, and of course, calling them to carry on the work after his departure, right? Matthew has been proving, like we've been seeing for the last few weeks, that Jesus is the true Messiah, right? And now Matthew begins, in some sense here, in the latter part of chapter 4, to show how the ministry of the true Messiah is going to work itself out. We're going to see that here this morning. And what we see, really, is that the Messiah has the authority to call others to the work of the kingdom. Right? The Messiah comes with the authority to call others to the work and to prepare them for that work. Right? We've talked a lot these last few weeks about how Jesus was being prepared for the ministry, and now we see this morning how Jesus is in turn preparing the disciples for the ministry. So let's pray that we would see how Jesus exercises this authority in the passage this morning and how that applies to us. Let's pray. Lord, we do just ask to see Jesus today. We ask to see him calling the disciples and in turn calling us to himself to be disciples. We pray, Lord, that we would see the importance of that, that we'd be encouraged by that, that we'd be encouraged to follow him, that we would know the goodness of the power that he has, Lord, to heal many of diseases. Lord, so many people need healing, spiritual healing, and so we pray that we would see our part as well as the disciples and the apostles' part here this morning. In Jesus' name we ask this, Lord. Amen. Well, there was a Roman soldier once. You're going to recognize the story, hopefully. He had a servant who was very sick, a Roman soldier who didn't want his servant to die, but it didn't look good, right? It didn't look good. And this Roman soldier heard that Jesus was nearby, and so he sent some of the Jewish elders to Jesus, right, to plead with Jesus to come to heal this servant. Now, the Jewish elders described this Roman soldier as worthy of great mercy because he loved the Jewish people. He actually was the builder of their synagogue in this particular town. And so Jesus goes with them. Now, when the centurion hears that Jesus is actually coming, he sends other friends, right? And he says, tell Jesus not to trouble himself so much. I'm not worthy that he would come under my roof, but I also am a man under authority. Just say the word, Jesus, and I know that my servant will be healed. Right? I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to one, come, and he comes. I say to another, do this, and he does it. So I know if you would just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus marvels at that faith, right? He says, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found someone with faith like this. This man knew that Jesus comes with authority, right? Jesus comes with authority. Now, since Jesus is the proven Messiah, right? Matthew has proven by this point in his writing that Jesus is the actual true Messiah. He has the right to command those around him to hear his call. That's what we're going to see this morning. He has the right to command you to hear his call. He has the right to command you to commit to his purpose, just like he did the disciples. And he has the right to command you to spread his message like he did in our passage this morning. So let's look at our passage. We're going to read Matthew 4, beginning at verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that's Jesus, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Jesus is the proven Messiah. And one of the things we see in our passage this morning is that he has the right to command you to hear his call. Now let me begin by reminding you that much of Jesus' ministry was done right here, right near Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. So it should be no surprise to see him or to hear Matthew write of him walking along the Sea of Galilee. It might be a small surprise to know, though, that this isn't the first time Jesus has run into Simon, Andrew, James, and John. I'm not sure if you get that here in the passage in Matthew. If you look at the outline in the bulletin, you'll see at the bottom I've included some scripture that you can look over this week. It follows the progression of what came first in the calling of the disciples. You'll see that this passage in Matthew is actually the second one. It's the B listing. Although it's the first one mentioned in the calling of the disciples here, chronologically, it's actually the second calling of the disciples if we were looking at it that way. Now, to put you at ease, we're not going to look at all those passages this morning, right? That's for you to look at this week. Don't get too worried about that. But it's clear from this passage, from the first passage there listed under A in the book of John, that Jesus has already run into Andrew, because he runs into Andrew first. And then Andrew was the one that brought Simon Peter. They ran into Simon Peter second. Every time you see the apostles listed, though, Simon Peter's always listed first. Always listed first. Anyhow, in fact, in the book of John, right, he runs into him first and then brings Simon Peter. So what's going on here in Matthew? Well, for Matthew, this is the first time in this book that we see the disciples called. And so it's okay that your title in the top or the heading in your passage might say the calling of the first disciples, or in ours, Jesus calls the first disciples. Like I said, it's the first time we see here Jesus call those disciples. Well, beyond that, though, this is where the disciples, I would say, are being called to a further commitment. Right? Even though Jesus has run into them before and had dealings with them before, as he begins his ministry, there is a change. And so he's calling these disciples again. Okay, now things are getting more serious. Come with me now, and we're going to go do some more serious work, right? And their new calling, of course, is to become fishers of men, right? Just what a great analogy, right? Here, they're fishers of fish, and they're going to become now fishers of men. Well, in the process of meeting them, they had become convinced. You might think, like, oh my goodness, he called them and they just left immediately. But see, they knew Jesus already. They had spent some time with Jesus before he calls them to leave immediately. And so you can see how it's easier for them. They're already convinced that Jesus is the Messiah through his teaching and through being with him. And so it makes their response maybe a little more encouraging to us, right? Because they didn't just see Jesus and go, oh, I wonder who that is and follow him. No, there had been some groundwork laid beforehand, right? It'd be a pretty daunting requirement, wouldn't it? If Jesus had just walked up to total strangers and said, follow me, and they followed him, and then someone stood up here and said, be like them, right? It'd be pretty daunting, but that's not how it happened, right? There were lots of groundwork laid. They already believed in Jesus, and now they were being called to a more committed work as Jesus begins his ministry. All right, so he begins his ministry, and he calls them to come to the work. And so when he calls them now to come to the work more fully, they willingly follow him. During one of the world wars, there were some Turkish soldiers who tried to drive away a flock of sheep, probably to eat later, right? They tried to drive them away. It was on a hillside, actually near Jerusalem. And the shepherd who was sleeping was suddenly aroused to see them being driven off, right? But single-handedly, he really knew he had no way of recapturing these sheep on his own, right? But suddenly he had a thought. And so standing on one side of the ravine, he called out to his sheep using his own peculiar call that he has for them. I don't know how much you know about farming, but my neighbor calls his cows, and he has a specific way of doing it. And when he calls them, they come to the barn. I kid you not, they will come to the barn when he calls them. Well, this shepherd has his peculiar call, and so he turns and calls them. And hearing it, the sheep stopped, turned around, ran down the ravine past these Turkish soldiers who couldn't stop them, to the shepherd, who then took them over the hill to safety and out of sight. Right? The soldiers had no chance to pursue them. There is something, I would say to you this morning, about the good shepherd's call. Right? There is something about the voice of the good shepherd that his sheep hear it and they follow. Right? The disciples hear Jesus' voice and they follow. Do you know Jesus as the true Messiah this morning? The one sent from the Father to be the good shepherd, to bring life, to bring you to safety? If you know him that way, do you hear his voice when he calls? Right? Do you hear it as the voice of safety? Right? Do you trust his voice when he calls? Do you run to him when he calls, knowing that is the only place you will be safe? I would remind you that is the place of safety, the place with Jesus. And running to him for that safety is a good thing. Following him is the right thing. But following him and running to him also requires some commitment, right? Because he has the right to command you to hear his call, but he also has the right to command you to be committed to his purpose. And his purpose is to bring about the work of the kingdom. Now, as you might guess, the word immediately plays an important part in this passage, right? It's used twice. You see it once in verse 20 with Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and once in verse 22, writing about James and John. They both immediately respond. The lesson is clear, I think, as God commands us to be committed, that when he calls, he expects us to respond and to do so immediately, to be committed to the purpose for which he called us to. He wants us to be committed to the purpose for which he calls us to. Now, I want to say that, right? God calls us to be committed for our purpose. And I want to flesh that out a little bit here, right? He is calling these men here, right, to be part of his inner circle. Each of these men will end up as apostles, right? They will be part of the 12. And of course, to be part of the 12, they will ultimately leave everything that they know and really put their total efforts towards apostleship and towards the spreading of the gospel and the establishment of the church. Now, keep in mind, even right here, they don't give up fishing completely, because we do see them fishing later, right? They don't really give up all of that fishing stuff until after Jesus ascends to heaven. But that will be the end game, right? That will be the call that God has given them. They will have to give up everything to follow Jesus to fulfill their purpose. Now, it's at this point that I think we need to be very careful. Because I don't want you to think that, the passage here is telling you you have to give up everything to follow Jesus. Right? If we were to say that everyone needs to follow Jesus like these future apostles did, then we would all have to leave our jobs, we would all have to commit to evangelism, and we'd have to do it in an all-encompassing way. And that's not what the passage is saying. I might warn you that in medieval times, that actually happened. People actually felt during medieval times that if the Lord was to call you, you had to give up everything and go to the monastery, for example. And some men were actually doing that. They left their families, their wives, their children, their livelihoods, and they went to the monastery, thinking God was calling them to something more. But God is not calling you to be an apostle. Right? God is not calling you to be an apostle. He had his 12 apostles. He called his 12 apostles, and you weren't born to be one of them. Right? Now, there will be men and women who are called to commit more fully to the spreading of the gospel. We call them missionaries. We call them evangelists. But God's call now, even though it may not be to be a missionary or an evangelist, it is still to be a fisher of men. Right? God's call is still to be a fisher of men. The good thing is he allows you to keep your current vocation and still do that. Right? He's calling us to keep our current vocation often and work to spread the gospel at the same time. Working to share the love of Christ with those in your circle, wherever it is you work. Right? At work, at home, in your community, the friends you meet. Look around you, and I guarantee you, you will see you don't have to go very far to spread the glory of the gospel to someone who's never heard or that needs to know. Right? You won't have to go very far to find someone who really has a deep need to have a sense of forgiveness in their life over their own sin. They might not say it out loud, but you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their lives. Lots of people can do great things for the Lord right where they are. I heard one story of a pastor, a very wealthy man in his congregation, one of their biggest donors, said, "I think the Lord is calling me to give up all of that and become a missionary." And the pastor said, "I sure hope not, because the Lord is doing great work through you and you and all the money that you're able to provide for other people." I don't think he actually became a missionary. But even more than that, in the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria, he grew tired of his role as king. And so he made an application to Prior Richard at the local monastery, asking to be accepted as a contemplative. That's like the little new person, right? And he was going to then spend the rest of his life in the monastery. This was Prior Richard's response. "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard for you because you have been a king." Well, the king replies, "I understand. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." "Ah, then you will be obedient to me," said Prior Richard. "Yes, I will. Then I will tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." That's what he told him to do. Well, when King Henry died, there was a statement written that said, "The king learned to rule by being obedient." When we tire of our rules and responsibilities, it helps to remember God has planted you, right, in a certain place and told you to be a good accountant or a good farmer or a good teacher or a good mother, a good grandmother or grandfather, right? He expects you to be fruitful where he has planted you. He has called you for your purpose. And he calls you to follow him in the midst of that. He called the apostles for their job. He's called you for your job. So what has God called you to do this morning? Really tough question, huh? What is it that God has called you to do? Can you look at your current situation and see that God is using you where you are? He is using you where you are. Don't look for things that are flashy. You don't have to look for things that are exciting. You don't even have to look for things to be easy. What you have to do is look to see how God might use you where you are. God is not calling you to be an apostle, but he is calling you to be a fisher of men and to be committed to his purpose to bring the good news of the kingdom here to the earth. Well, Jesus is the proven Messiah, so he has the right to do that. Right? He has the right to command you to hear his call and to come to him. He has the right to command you to commit to his purpose even as you serve him, wherever that might be. But he also has that right to command you to spread the gospel message, not just to work in your vocation, but to spread that message. You see, once you're committed to his purpose, you will still need to strive, right? You'll still have to work at spreading his message in a winsome way. This doesn't mean standing on the street corner and being a Bible thumper, although some people are effective that way, right? I don't want to put them down, but you need to be spreading his message, not your own message, God's message. And Christ has the authority to give you the power to make that happen. Look at verse 23 again, right? It says, our passage, it says that Jesus went throughout all Galilee teaching and preaching and healing the sick, right? It was a sign that he had the authority and the power, right, to fulfill his mission, which was to prove that his message that the coming of the kingdom was here is true, right? He was healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind, even casting out demons from those who were oppressed. Do you remember what John sent? He sent a message to Jesus. Do you remember what he asked? In Matthew 11, we'll get to this at some point, right? He asked, are you the Messiah, or should we expect another? That's what John said as John was in prison. And Jesus answered this way. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Right, that was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Jesus here telling John, of course I'm the Messiah. Look what's going on. Jesus' ministry was not only a message about the arrival of the kingdom, it was also about the authority that he came with, right? The authority that Jesus came with as the Messiah. It was about the power that he had to fulfill that ministry. A government surveyor one day brought all his surveying equipment to a farm, and he called on the farmer and he asked for permission to set up his surveying stuff in the farmer's field. He could see by the look on the farmer that the farmer was quite reluctant to let him enter his land. So he pulled out some papers and he explained to him, I have permission from the government to enter any field I want anywhere in the country. They have given me this authority. And so, unwillingly, the farmer opened the gate and let him into the field. But as the surveyor began to set up his equipment and start to do his work, the farmer walked around to the other end of the field and let in one of his fiercest bulls. We can imagine the surveyor was quite alarmed, so the farmer just yelled over, it's okay, just show him your papers. You see, the surveyor had the authority to enter, but not the power, right, to be safe. Right? He had no power to resist that bull. Jesus, the God-sent evangelist, Messiah, has both calling and authority and power to fulfill his mission. When you think about the mission that God is calling you to, do you see that you have the authority and the power and the calling that comes from Jesus Christ? Right? That's what makes it possible. You have the calling and the authority and the power to fulfill the mission that God is calling you to. When you spread the gospel, are you trusting in that calling? Are you trusting in that authority? Are you trusting in that power? God's power, given to empower you to spread the gospel. But the gospel's power, right, again, comes from God's authority. And when it comes, God's promises, it will not return empty or void, right? But it will fulfill its purposes. You aren't called to be an apostle. And of course, we all know we're not called to be Jesus, right? You're called to be you. Right? You're called to be you. But as God calls you to be you, he does command you to hear his calling. He does command you to commit to his purpose, to bring the kingdom to earth, and to spread his message that Jesus came to save sinners. Now, I'll admit I haven't spent much time this morning talking about what it means for Jesus to heal the sick and release the captives. We are going to have plenty of time to do that as we work our way through Matthew and we see specific instances of that happening. This morning, I'm focusing on the idea of authority and power because not only does Jesus have it to command you, but he gives it to you so that you have it available in the spreading of the gospel. In the account of the centurion, the servant was healed while Jesus was still far off. He really was a man under authority. He really could just say the word and healing would come. What that means is that that Jesus comes with the authority of the Father, right? When he says, you too, Jesus, are a man under authority, he means that Jesus comes with the authority of the Father. So let's close with some great things to remember as we leave here today. God's call on your life is one that uses the gifts that he's given you, right, to fulfill God's purposes. When he calls you to follow him, it doesn't have to mean leaving your current homeland or your occupation or your family. Right? He's calling you where you are to follow him. And that doesn't mean you have a lesser role in the kingdom either. It doesn't mean you have a lesser role just because you're not an apostle. Every believer, where they are, plays an important part in the work of the kingdom, right? In the calling of the work. And one of those things I want you to see this morning is that Jesus didn't focus on the disciples who would soon become apostles. No, he spent time with all. He didn't just hang out with the 12, right? He spent time with all, sharing with them healing, right? Releasing them from bondage, talking with them wherever he had the opportunity. There was no unimportant person in the ministry of Jesus, those that worked with him and those that he ministered to. Say that again. No important person in the ministry of Jesus. No unimportant person in the kingdom of God. Not one. Right? 1 Corinthians 12 makes that clear. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 14, says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Jesus came so that each of you could be a part of the body of Christ where you are. He's calling you to serve him in your own special way, in your own special circumstances. And since he's doing the calling, you can trust that you're where he wants you to be, right? You can trust that he will equip you for that job. He has the power to make your ministry effective. Jesus himself said, and again, we'll get to this, it's at the end of Matthew. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Right? Go there. My authority I give to you for the spreading of the gospel message. And know that as you're doing that, Jesus will be with you to the very end of the age, right, as we work to spread the gospel and to spread the kingdom of the Lord. Let's work, let his work be the work that prepares you for tomorrow, right? So that you're ready to share the gospel tomorrow. Let the power of the work of Christ at the cross be the same power that prepares you even for eternity. Let's pray, rejoicing that we can trust and know and experience the real work of God in our lives now as he prepares us, even now, to serve him today and tomorrow until the end of the age. Let's pray. Lord, we do stand in awe of your power to command this, your creation, and to command us, your creatures, to hear your call and to respond with a committed allegiance and to spread the message of the gospel. Lord, we see the power of that revealed as the New Testament church was established. We pray, Lord, that we would see the power of that revealed as the gospel continues to spread, even in our midst. Lord, it's so easy for us to think that the power of the gospel is not working as we see things happening around us. And so we pray that we'd be encouraged by this passage this morning to hear your call and commit to you and to speak the gospel whenever we have the opportunity, that more and more people would be drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Lord, prepare us to do that work and prepare us for eternity as we minister. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our time together singing hymn number 298. I've forgotten the title. 298 is Anywhere with Jesus. A good reminder that you can go anywhere. You can be anywhere almost anywhere, I'll say, as long as Jesus is with you. 298. are safe with Jesus, when he is leading you, you can go and share the gospel anywhere. Hear the Lord's benediction as we go to be his ministers in a world that needs us. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.